Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soups present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. When you heard the sound of the squeaking door, it was exactly 30 seconds past the hour for murder. But don't worry. We won't keep you waiting much longer. Even as I talk to you now, our hero and his victim are standing beside me, wishing I'd dispense with formalities so they can get to more enjoyable pursuits. Like murder.
Now, isn't it funny, Mr. Host? I feel the same way in hot weather.
You mean the heat makes you feel murderous? Now, this doesn't sound like our Mary.
Please don't misunderstand me, Mr. Host. I mean the heat makes me want to dispense with formalities so I can get to more enjoyable pursuits, like serving myself and my friends tall, cooling glasses of iced Lipton tea in my backyard under the trees. What grand iced tea Lipton's makes. So gloriously full-bodied, so full of zip. And it's that brisk Lipton flavor that does it. A flavor that's never flat, but always spirited and satisfying. You see, brisk is the word the tea experts themselves use to describe the livelier freshness of Lipton's. And those same tea experts agree that in iced teas, brisk flavor is extra important. That's why, for the best iced tea you ever tasted, you should always insist on Lipton tea. It's good iced because it's brisk in flavor. So keep a frosty pitcher of iced Lipton tea always on hand.
Thank you for those cooling thoughts, Mary. Now into our sizzling thriller, 8 Steps to Murder, written especially for Inner Sanctum by Emil Tepperman. This is the chronicle of a carefully calculated crime. A crime so twisted and subtle that it had to be blueprinted in advance. As Barry Kroger, in the role of Mark Durfee, the newspaper columnist, tells his story, we shall watch this crime develop, step by step, 8 steps to murder.
When I decided to kill Basil Archer, I went about it like an architect laying out the plans for a complicated building project. Only a fool leaves the details of such an undertaking to chance. I calculated every risk. I weighed every possibility of failure. I blueprinted each of the 8 necessary steps I had to take. My first step was to get a suitable weapon. I went on Monday morning to the office of a pawnbroker I knew on 48th Street.
Good morning, my friend. How are you, Mr. Krug?
Come in, Mr. Durfee.
Thank you. You know what I want?
Indeed, yes. I have it here, exactly what you need. It's fully loaded. You can spin the barrel and see for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Nice revolver. Looks a little awkward.
Well, you said you wanted it with the silencer attached.
Yes. How much for this, Mr. Krug?
$250.
What?
That is the price, Mr. Durfee. You know, it's against the law to sell these.
Well, yes, but 250.
You will pay it, Mr. Durfee.
Well, all right. You know what I want this gun for.
But naturally.
You know I'm planning to kill someone with it.
But naturally. Otherwise, would you want a silencer on it?
You wouldn't be above a little honest blackmail, would you, Mr. Krug?
Please, do not point that gun at me. It is loaded.
I know that.
What are you going to do?
I regret this, Mr. Krug. I'm going to have to kill you.
No, I swear to you.
Save it.
You'll be sorry for this. You'll make a mistake. You'll make a slip.
There'll be no mistake.
There will. You cannot think of everything.
I have thought of everything. This is the first thing. You cannot think of everything.
I left Krug's body where it lay and put the silenced revolver in my inside pocket and stepped out into the air. I stopped, stuck still. The rain suddenly coming down in buckets. I hadn't counted on it starting to rain. My alibi for Krug's killing was carefully planned. Everybody at my hotel thought I was still in my room, sleeping off a binge. I carefully staged a drinking spree last night. But if my clothes were wet, they'd know I'd been out this morning.
You cannot think of everything. You cannot think of everything.
I hurried back to my hotel, walking in the rain. It was too dangerous to take a cab. I sneaked in the service entrance, the way I'd come out, and walked up the one flight of stairs. As soon as I got in my room, I took off my clothes, dropped them all in the bathtub, and started the shower going. And then I went to bed. About noontime, when the phone rang, I knew it was the clerk downstairs calling because I'd left a call for 12. I let the phone ring. That was step number 2. A few minutes later, just as I expected, Ryan, the house detective, let himself into the room with his pass key. I pretended to be asleep, dead to the world.
Cockeyed shenanigans. Well, what a load he must have taken on last night.
I heard Ryan go into the bathroom where the shower was still running, and then come out muttering and approach the bed.
Wake up, Mr. Duffy.
What? Oh, my head.
Oh, you must have been as high as a kite last night.
Oh.
You undressed in the shower. Left all your clothes in the bathtub. They're soaking wet.
I was safe. My tracks were completely covered. This was Monday afternoon. According to my schedule, Basil Archer was to die on Friday evening at 10 o'clock sharp. I was now free to take step 3 in my blueprint for murder. For this purpose, I went to Basil Archer's office. He was a theatrical producer, you see. His office was upstairs over the famous old Fantasy Theater, where Archer's new play was to open on Friday evening. As I opened the door of Basil Archer's office, I was quite cool. I'd rehearsed myself well. Basil was seated at his desk talking to Gregory Sutherland, the young and handsome author of the new play.
Hello there, Mark. Glad to see you.
Hi, Basil. Just dropped in to get a line on the new play.
You know Greg Sutherland, the author?
Sure.
Greg, this is Mark Durfee.
We've met.
I tell you, Mark, Storm Over the Highlands is going to be the biggest hit of the season. Greg's written a fine play.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Basil. Ought to go over big, especially with your wife doing the lead. Nina's a great actress.
Confidentially, that's one of the reasons why I'm doing Storm Over the Highlands. Just suited for Nina.
Nina will be wonderful.
Well, I guess she likes working with you, Mr. Sutherland. It's always a good idea for the author and the star of a play to work together.
Oh? Have you and Nina been working together, Greg?
Well, yes, Mr. Archer. We sort of thought if we could exchange ideas.
I never saw two people put their heart and soul into a job like Nina and Sutherland here. They spend every minute they can together.
Now, look here, Durfee, I don't like the way you said that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sutherland. You know I didn't mean anything. It's only what people are saying, seeing you both together so much.
What's this all about, Mark? This is the first I've heard of anything.
Oh, forget it, Basil. Oh, by the way, here's a package. I want to give it to Nina on opening night. I wonder if you put it in your safe for me till Friday.
Why, sure, if you want me to. I'll put it here, on the bottom shelf, next to the payroll money. Come in Friday evening during the first intermission, and I'll get it out for you.
Fine. Are those all packages of money on the bottom shelf?
Yes, over 100,000 in there. Receipts for my other shows. Here you are, Mark. All safely locked up. What kind of a present is it?
I I'd rather keep that a secret till Friday. From Archer's office, I went straight to his apartment. I knew Nina would be home, and it was important that I talk to her now.
Hello, Mark. I've been wondering if you'd come today.
Well, I told you I would, Nina.
I've waited so long.
Oh, darling.
Oh, Mark, how long will it be now? How much longer?
Only till Friday, darling. After Friday, you'll be free of him forever.
And then you and I...
There's work to do first. This is only the fourth step. There are four more to go.
Mm.
Everything's working according to schedule. The next step is up to you.
What must I do, Mark?
Oh, I've started the ball rolling. Basil's beginning to worry about you and Sutherland.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be encouraged to suspect as much as possible. You've got to be seen around with Sutherland as frequently as you can.
Oh, that'll be easy. Sutherland's hardly more than a kid. He worships the ground I walk on. But I'd rather be with you, darling.
There's 5 days more, Nina. And then we can be together. Always. Outside Nina's house, I stopped for a moment with a queer sensation in the pit of my stomach. It was raining again. It reminded me of Mr. Crewe.
Can't think of everything.
I seem to hear Krug's voice drumming in my ears. Drumming.
You'll make a mistake, drumming. Mark Durfee. You'll make a mistake.
I won't, Wolf. I won't.
You'll make a mistake.
Oh, poor Krug. You know, a pawnbroker's life is not an easy one, and Krug took such an interest in his business. And he never suspected Mark Durfee. In fact, he probably liked him for his redeeming qualities. Though, come to think of it, Krug was pretty lucky at that. Mark didn't steal anything from the store but the gun, so Krug lost practically nothing but his life.
You know, Mark's story gives me an idea. I'd like to draw up a blueprint myself.
Yes, Mary, another blueprint for murder.
Oh, now, Mr. Host, I'd call mine a blueprint for summer refreshment. And I'd like to do it in sound. First, I'd start with the creak of porch rockers on shaded summer streets and the murmur of backyard gardener in the lilac dust. And with the teensters home from school, there'd have to be some sweet swing music, of course. And just to make my blueprint of summer sounds complete, you'd hear the tinkle of ice in tall, cool glasses. Glasses of refreshing iced Lipton tea. Yes, iced Lipton tea just goes with summertime fun and enjoyment. Lipton's has such a wide-awake flavor. The whole family will love it. And that flavor, folks, is brisk. Yes, that's the secret. Lipton's brisk flavor is what makes iced Lipton tea taste extra good. So for a delightful treat to beat the heat, serve iced tea, and for the best iced tea ever, insist on Lipton tea. Brisk flavor, never flat.
Couldn't have done better myself, Mary. But now let's catch up with our architect of murder. If Mark Durfee's blueprint works out according to schedule, our death rate should go up sharply to about one per person. Let's see. He should be up to his fifth step by now, shouldn't he?
Tuesday was a clear day without rain, and I felt better. I knew now that I couldn't make a mistake. In 4 days, Basil Archer would die as planned.
And now for the fifth step. An easy one for Mark Durfee because he's a newspaper columnist. It merely requires dictating a little item for his column into the dictaphone at his desk.
Oh, there's a new play opening soon, which should be a huge success. If the author and the leading lady can do anything to make it click. They're working harder on it than the producer himself. It looks like they've clicked with each other, too.
And now, the sixth step. 8 steps to murder, and this is number 6. Just a couple of telephone calls to set the sixth step. step in motion.
Hello?
Hello, Nina. Did you see the paper this morning?
Mark, darling, it was perfect. I've had a half dozen phone calls. Everybody knows you met Sutherland and me.
Oh, good.
Basil saw it, too, at breakfast this morning.
He did? How did he like it?
Oh, he just looked glum. I don't think he believes it.
Well, all right. Now, here's what I want you to do. Get hold of Sutherland and make him take you out tonight.
Uh-huh.
There's a fast little nightclub out on the island, the Pirate's Hole.
I know the place. Kind of disreputable, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Well, now, look, you get Sutherland to take you there. You think you can manage that?
Oh, he'll take me anywhere I want to go.
Good. Be sure to be there tonight, about 10. I'll take care of the rest.
Basil Archer speaking.
Oh, hello, Basil. How are you?
Mark Durfee. Now, look here,
Mark. Wait. Take it easy, Basil. I know you want to bore me out about that piece in the column.
I thought you were a friend of mine.
Oh, look, Basil, that's why I printed that piece. I don't like what's going on.
Just what do you mean? If Nina feels like working with the author of the play, she's...
Sure, that's all right. But look, why keep things secret?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you ask Sutherland if he has any plans for tonight.
I know what plans he has for tonight. He's going to stay home and work on some lines in the last scene.
Oh, is that so?
What are you hinting at, Mark?
I'm hinting that you take a run out to the Pirate's Hold. You know where it is? Out on the island? And you'll see how hard Sutherland will be working on the last scene. Hello?
Mark, this is Nina.
Oh, where are you?
I'm calling from the Pirate's Hold. Basil was just here.
Oh, God. Did he find you with Sutherland?
Well, naturally. I did just what you told me to.
I'm fine. And everything is set for tomorrow.
You're sure everything will be all right?
Oh, yes, quite sure. Now, this is what I want you to do tomorrow. Just before the show opens, you'll take sick.
Oh.
Basil will have to put in an understudy for you.
Yes, I can do that all right.
Then you'll dismiss the servant.
Yes.
Now, remember this clearly, Nina. You're going to be my alibi for the hour between 9 and 10. Understand?
I understand, Mark.
I'll be over at 9. But I'll leave a few minutes later by the back way. Only you'll swear that I stayed till a few minutes after 10. Is that clear?
Yes, Mark. And good luck.
When I rang the doorbell of Nina's apartment Friday night, I knew that every step I'd taken thus far had been right. I couldn't fail.
Mark, I was afraid you weren't coming. I was afraid something had gone wrong.
No. Nothing's gone wrong. You sent the servants away?
Yes, they're all gone. I'm alone. I can swear you were here till after 10.
Good.
How are you going to kill him?
With this.
A gun. What's that bulky-looking thing on it on the muzzle?
It's a silencer, Nina.
Oh. Well, you better hurry, darling. You haven't much time.
There's one thing more that I've got to do here before I go.
Why are you pointing the gun at me?
Because I'm going to kill you, Nina, dear.
Oh, no, Mark, I don't like that kind of joke.
It isn't a joke, my darling.
Mark, are you crazy?
You little fool. Did you think I'd go to all this trouble, planning this thing step by step? Did you think I was doing all of this for you?
But I thought you loved me.
You thought I was committing murder because I loved you? Oh, Nina, you're just another step in my blueprint. Now you've served your purpose, just like Krug. Krug was step one, you're step seven.
Mark!
I made sure Nina was dead, and then I hurried out and went to Basil Archer's office. I had to be sure my timing was right. This was the eighth and the final step. I knew Basil would be in his office during the first intermission, so... Hello, Basil.
Oh, it's you, Mark. Come in. I want to talk to you.
What about, Basil?
Mark, what's going on between Sutherland and Nina?
Oh, no, Basil, you're not a fool.
I can't believe it.
Well, look, if you want proof, suppose you get that package out of the safe, the one I left with you.
The package? What's that got
to do? You get it, and I'll show you.
Well, all right. Well, here's your package. Now, what do you want to show me?
Still got all that cash in the safe, huh?
You know, I always have it here.
Yes, I know.
Say, what are you doing with that revolver?
Look, Basil. Look into the muzzle.
What the...
That's just right.
Oh!
I opened the package Basil had given me. It was only an empty box, nothing in it, but there was something here I could put into it now. I stepped across Basil's body, knelt before the open safe, and took out the neatly tied bundles of money and put them into the empty box. $100,000. It was well worth the months of planning and the careful blueprinting. I was a rich man. Now I was ready for the finale, the last bit of routine business, which would finish the whole thing off properly. Pick up the phone, dialed police headquarters. It wouldn't be too difficult to imitate Basil Archer's voice over the telephone. I'd rehearsed that, too.
Yes, headquarters.
Hello. This is Basil Archer speaking. I've just killed my wife.
What's that?
My wife and Sutherland, they were planning to run away together. They stole all the money from my safe. We're going away. So I killed her. Now I'm going to kill myself, too.
Now, wait, Mr. Archer. Now, wait a minute. Don't do anything rash.
I softly replaced
the receiver. Just stay there till we send a radio.
Now, everything was set. Carefully, I placed the revolver in Basil's cold hand and left no prints on it because I was wearing gloves. I picked up the package and walked out into the hall. But in the hall, I stopped short. Someone had just come into the building downstairs. I peered down and I saw Gregory Sutherland coming up.
Mr. Archer, are you up there? You better hurry, the second act is starting.
Sutherland was coming up the stairs. I couldn't get out, but I wasn't trapped. Oh, no. There was a porter's closet down the hall. I tiptoed over to it and slipped inside just as Sutherland got to the landing.
Mr. Archer, are you in there?
Sutherland was in Basil's office now. He'd be finding the body. This was my chance to sneak out. I opened the closet door.
Come on, Kitty. Archer's office is one place up. Maybe we can make it in time. The guy said he was going to kill himself.
The police had come in answer to my telephone call. Now I couldn't get out. There'd be a crowd outside and I'd be seen leaving. I had to stay in the building. Still, I wasn't trapped. I knew just what to do. Instead of leaving the building, I would walk out of the closet and into Basil's office right after the police. They'd think I'd just arrived. I stepped out of the porter's closet. I started for the door of Basil's office. Then, suddenly, I got a sick, weak feeling in the pit of my stomach. I stopped stock still. I'd almost walked into my death. It was raining outside. Suppose I'd walked in there with my clothes all dry, claiming that I'd just come in from the street. They'd know that I'd been hiding in the building all the time. The rain, that rain, it almost tricked me again.
You can't think of everything. You'll make a mistake. You can't think of everything.
I can, you old fool. I'll show you. I hurried back into the porter's closet. I knew how to beat this, too. I turned on the faucet in the sink. Splashed and drenched myself from head to foot. Well, now I looked as if I'd just come in out of the rain. I stepped out of the closet, went down the hall, and entered Basil Archer's office, dripping wet. The two policemen were standing over Basil's body with Gregory Sutherland. They all looked up as I came in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Derby. Sorry about this. It's your friend, Basil Archer. Committed suicide.
Oh, no. Oh, it's impossible, Sergeant Moran. Basil wouldn't do a thing like that. Why, who found him?
I did, Mr. Durfee. I came to call him for the second act.
Oh, this is terrible.
It's like an open and shut case. Killed his wife, then came here and knocked himself off.
Oh.
And what's more, Mr. Sutherland?
Yes?
Before he knocked himself off, he phoned headquarters and said you'd stolen money from his safe.
Well, that's a lie. Wait a minute. Sergeant, Mr. Durfee.
Yes, Sutherland.
How did you get yourself all wet like that?
Oh, well, you try not getting wet in that rain.
Rain? What rain, Mr. Dorothy?
Suddenly I went clammy all over. I saw that none of them was wet. Their clothes were all dry. But how could that be? They'd just come in out of the rain.
What rain, Mr. Dorothy?
Well, you can hear it, can't you? It's pouring rain. Just listen to that thunder.
Thunder? Rain? Good heavens, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Don't you see, Sergeant, he's been in the building all the time, trying to make us think he just came in and he got himself all wet for nothing. Sergeant, I bet you a dollar he murdered Archer.
You're crazy. Well, it's pouring outside. You can hear it yourself. But just listen to that rain beating down. The thunder.
You poor sap. That isn't rain you hear. It's my play next door. Storm over the Highlands. Remember? And those are the sound effects in the second act.
So, it looks like Mark Durfee was all wet. In fact, he got himself so soaking wet, he practically liquidated himself. But cheer up, I'm sure he won't spend more than 6 months in jail. And that wouldn't be so bad, would it? If they weren't going to execute him afterward.
Poor Mark. If only someone had told him.
Told him what, Mary?
Well, look, Mark took 8 steps to get in the cooler when you really only have to take 1 step to get cool. Sure, just step down to the grocer's and get a large economical package of brisk Lipton tea. Then keep a pitcher of iced Lipton tea always on hand and help yourself to its cooling refreshment off and on throughout the day. That's all there is to it. And you'll find Lipton's makes perfect iced tea because Lipton's is never flat. It always tastes delightfully tangy and full-bodied. That's why this summer, when you want iced tea, you should be sure to use the tea with the brisk flavor. Ask your grocer tomorrow for Lipton's.
And so ends our little essay on the modern methods of murder. Of course, our little essays on murder are only for the select few. As a matter of fact, only one person in every 10,000 is capable of murder. Mm-hmm. And speaking of statistics, due to our high birth rate, the population of this country is increasing faster than Inner Sanctum can kill 'em. Very discouraging. Very discouraging indeed. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Panic Stricken by Mitchell Wilson. And next week, the makers of Lipton Tea and Lipton Soups will bring you another Inner Sanctum story directed by Hyman Brown and called Bury Me Not. Now, there's a plot for you. A plot right in the graveyard. Trouble is, the rains come and uncover it. What becomes of the body? Well, now, that's anybody's guess. But come around next week. We'll be right at the graveside, and we'd like to have you drop in. Until then, good night. Pleasant dreams.
Now that summer's here, keep cool by keeping out of the kitchen. Serve Lipton's noodle soup. It's quick and easy to prepare and gives you a delicious soup in a jiffy with so much less work and trouble. It's the perfect hot dish to serve with cool summertime suppers because Lipton's is luscious noodle soup with real old-time chickeny flavor. Besides, Lipton's noodle soup mix costs less and makes lots more than the usual canned soup. Ask for it tomorrow, Lipton's Noodle Soup. And tune in next week for another Inner Sanctum Mystery.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino, America's
social casino.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
Good evening, friends of the creaking door. This is your host to welcome you once again into the inner sanctum. Come in. Don't hesitate. Come right in. Once you get accustomed to our surroundings, you'll never leave. Nobody ever does. Once you're in, you're out. This is the kind of place that grips you. The kind of place where the bars hold and no holds are barred. Ever wish you were somebody else? Somewhere else? Well, hang on to your wishbones. We've got a horrible example of what we mean. We're in the biggest little city in the world, Reno. A fellow with a growth of beard, trousers that balloon at the knees, and a dragging walk enters a store whose sign reads, "The Rialto Record Shop. Make a record of your own voice."
A recording of your voice?
Yeah. How much can I get on a record?
Well, there's a special long playing record.
How long?
Almost 20 minutes.
That's it. Where do I go?
This booth. This button starts the recording. You speak into the microphone.
I got it. Scram. To the chief of police, greetings. This is Happy Dolan, age 26, citizen at large, USA, occupation, drifter. I rode into your merry little burg on the wrong end of a locomotive. That was yesterday. I came here to change my luck. And I did. My luck was bad. I changed it to terrible. I almost got knocked off twice for nothing, and I got a complaint. The weighing machine at the Stork drugstore ought to be declared out of bounds, because that's where crazy things began happening to me. I put my last copper penny in the machine just to see what not eating did to the human figure. Besides my weight, the machine stamped out a card for my penny. One of those little white cards with your fortune on it. The card read, "Danger, fortune, and marriage await you." Danger, fortune, and marriage. The machine had me confused with somebody else. The only thing that ever happened to me was being born. I hit the sidewalks to mooch the price of a flop. It was getting on till midnight, and I had to pitch fast if I didn't want to camp outdoors. I started my pitch at a little guy with a pulled-down hat and his hands tucked in his pockets. Pardon me, friend, but I'm a stranger in town.
Skip this spiel. I know it backwards.
Sure.
What are you bucking for?
A flop.
Follow me.
What's up?
You said you wanted a flop. You coming?
Look, if you just spot me 4 bits, I know a place.
You're not going to get stubborn. I said follow me.
Do I have to?
Does this answer your question?
Gun. You a cop?
Now you're getting insulting. Start walking or you flop right where you stand.
The town sure had to welcome Matt out. A little guy with a cannon was parading me through the countrified back streets toward a river.
Turn up that road.
Now look, friend.
Turn up.
Sure.
Okay, this is far enough. River's kind of deep at this end. Can you swim?
No.
That's too bad. Maybe you should have learned how. Turn around.
You're going to shoot me?
I won't have to. I just treat you to a bath and a flop.
Why? Why do I rate it?
I'm kind to strangers. Here you go into dreamland.
Going down for the third time when I heard an angel's voice.
Mister! Mister! Try to reach the side of the boat. Grab the sides and hold on.
I can't. I'm too big.
All right, I'll help you. There. I'll row to the bank. You sit bending forward. Swallowed a lot of water.
A whole river. We sat on the bank, me and my guardian angel, until I came around. You saved my life. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm Happy Dolan. You?
Jesse.
Funny time of night to be out rowing.
Lucky for you.
Sure. Did you just happen to be out rowing?
Maybe.
What's funny?
I won you in a weighing machine.
Did you say a weighing machine?
Yes. Over at the Stork drugstore. I got my weight in this card. You want to hear my fortune?
Go ahead and read it to me.
Cast your troubles on the waters if you want to see your future. You're my future? Happy Dolan, a stumble bum who gets slugged and tossed into the river.
Call me back in, why don't you?
Well, you sound like you're fully recovered. So long. I'll be seeing you.
Hey, wait. Jesse! Wait! She was gone. I had something more to think about. I hit back toward the lighted-up sections of town and ran into brain teaser number 3. Number 3 commenced with a wallet, a fat, cushy wallet lying in the middle of the street begging for a taker. I grabbed the wallet and started to leave fast. But not fast enough.
Just a minute, my lad.
Out of my way, mister.
This might persuade you.
What's the gun for?
To reclaim my property, a wallet. I was knocked down and robbed a few minutes ago.
Not by me, mister.
O'Toole, Simon O'Toole. I didn't see my assailant. You have any objection to being searched?
What for?
To establish your innocence. Turn your pockets inside out.
Look, Mr. O'Toole, I've got your wallet.
So?
But I found it on the street. Honest, I did. Here, I'll give it back.
Where were you taking yourself in such a hurry?
Places. Square meal first, then a room and a bath, then maybe to the casino.
To try your luck?
Yeah. I figured to see if a weighing machine had some of the answers I'd been trying to find.
Did you say a weighing machine?
Yeah. Don't tell me you got one of those little white cards at the store, drugstore, too.
But I did. Card with a prophecy of fortune. I have it right here. I'll read it to you. Any investment you make will be wonderfully successful.
What are you eyeing me for?
Any investment I make, it said. Oddly enough, investments are my business. Loans and investments of every kind. Any investment. You were on your way to luck, you say?
That was when I had the wallet.
I'll invest in you. I'll stake you.
Just like that?
No. A half of your future in writing.
Is it at the point of a gun, or do I have a choice? Give me a town where things happen fast. And less than an hour later, I was at the Grove Casino Club. I had $2,000 in my pocket, and a guy named O'Toole had a signed claim check on half my future. Win, lose, or draw. Give me a town where you meet the same doll every which way you turn. There was Jesse, dressed to kill, lapping up the nightlife, heading my way like a homing pigeon.
Hello, Happy.
Hello, yourself.
You picked the wrong place. The management here is awfully hard on Panhandle.
You drift over just to needle me?
No, I came over because...
Because what?
Because it seemed the most natural thing to do, falling in beside you.
As if we go together, huh?
Do we go together?
Sure. Sure we do. You see this bankroll?
Happy. Where'd you get it?
Legitimately. I sold 50% of me for $2,000.
You're talking crazy.
Maybe.
What are you going to do with the money?
Well, that little white card said danger, fortune, marriage. I've had the danger. Now I'm here to let my dough ride on fortune. And if I click there?
And if you click there?
Then, marriage. According to your card, you found your future in the river. Baby, I'm it. I clicked in the casino for all the dough I could carry without staggering. The rest I took a check for.
Oh, Happy, it's all so incredible.
Kid, remind me to buy that weighing machine and have it gold-plated. I'll want it on our front lawn as a souvenir.
Now what?
I cut you in on the half of me I control. Want it?
Yes. Yes, Happy.
Great little town. Nothing ever closes. Nobody sleeps who doesn't want to. You can rent a you-drive-it car on the spur of the moment, any hour. Even the Justice of the Peace has his neon sign on until all hours to catch the marrying trade that won't wait until the sun comes up.
And, you, Happy Doran? Take this woman to be a lovely wedded wife?
Cut it short, huh? I do.
Then I'll pronounce you man and wife. That'll be $20.
See ya. Let's go, Mrs. Dolan.
Well, I got a room reserved at Stanbrook Hotel. Well, what do you say we drive right to it, hit the sack, huh?
Yes, Happy. I'll drive.
Pleasure's all yours. Hey, where do I get in?
You're not getting in.
I'm not... What gives?
Just stand exactly where you are.
Now, wait a minute.
And the next one won't go over your head.
Suppose you tell me what it's all about.
Some other time. For now, suppose we say the bride changed her mind. So long, husband.
Jesse! Jesse!
Now, that's what I call hospitality to strangers. Ask a guy for 4 bits and he gives you... a whole river. You know, Dolan's getting more action in less time than a census taker in a hornet's nest. Danger, fortune, marriage, and the night isn't half finished yet. Nor is Dolan. Now let's cut the rest of that record with him, shall we?
I hiked back to town to look for Jesse. The bride who changed her mind. I hit every joint that was still lit up. I checked hotel registers but couldn't find hide or hair of her. And then, on a back street winding toward the river...
Hello, Happy.
O'Toole.
Don't you ever sleep?
I've got to watch my investments. We're in partnership.
Where? I'm buying your half back right now.
You made a killing tonight.
Yeah, and this check endorsed over to you adds up to an even half.
Check seems in order. I'll keep it.
Now, give me back that paper I signed, and let's say goodbye for keeps.
But you're forgetting something, Happy.
What?
I bought half of your future. Your whole future, not just the proceeds of one night's good fortune.
Look, O'Toole, either you're crazy or you're a fox. What give? What have you really got up your sleeve?
A mechanical object. See?
What's there about me that brings out the gun in people?
You take a partner's advice, Happy?
You're not asking, you're telling.
You leave town at once. There's a train out at 6 a.m. You'll go to Chicago to the address on this card.
1275 Rutgers Drive. What'll I do at 1275 Rutgers Drive, Chicago?
You'll be out of danger there. My investment in you will be secure.
Why? Am I in danger here?
Aren't you?
But I wasn't going to Chicago. I was just ducking O'Toole's gun. When the train was half a mile out, I went to the rear platform. One pull on the emergency cord, and the train would make an unscheduled stop just for Happy Dolan.
Get away from that emergency cord, Dolan.
Yeah, hello. I didn't get your name last night.
Smith.
Why do you keep tailing me?
For exercise. You're a hard man to kill.
And why don't you give up? You had two tries.
One more try.
You're gonna kill me out here?
When a train goes through a tunnel.
Why are you out to kill me?
I told you, for the exercise. I'll freeze where you are. You make a move and I won't wait for a tunnel.
Why should I freeze? What's the percentage? What if I get it now or in 2 minutes?
Okay, if that's how you want it.
That's how I want it.
That ain't fit for hard to kill. We were wrestling for the gun, rocking on our heels while the train was whirling to take a turn around a bend. And then suddenly we were midair over the railing with a shot from a catapult falling to the track.
I came to on the tracks, 6 feet from an unconscious little guy who called himself Smith. I couldn't feel my back or legs. I was bleeding badly. Smith looked twice as bad as I felt. I watched his hand feel around blindly for the gun laying a foot away. He was half dead, but still concentrating on business. I started crawling. I got to the gun first. I'm in charge now, Smith.
You want to knock me off?
If you don't answer some questions fast.
What question?
Why have you been trying to kill me? What's behind it?
That's a lot of questions.
I got two more. Who's Simon O'Toole? And why did a blonde named Jessie marry me and then take a powder?
You'll figure I've got the answers.
I know all three of you got the answers. You clam up and you're a dead man, Smith.
Then I'm a dead man.
You're not gonna talk?
I stood over a lot of guys in my time. Like you're standing over me now. Not one of them opened up. Ever. Go ahead and shoot.
I've got to kill you, Smith. Either you or me.
You got the gun.
Yeah. I've got the gun. I'd kill the killer. I kept telling myself it was self-defense that I'd exterminated a rat, that somebody should pin a badge on me for doing it. It was an hour before I could bring myself to drag Smith into the woods. I left him under a clump of blueberry bushes and headed back for town to find the heartthrob I'd married. I found her in the last place I expected her to be. Right in my room at the Stanbrook, curled up on a sofa like someone catnapping. Jessie.
I could have saved my breath. I'd be a widower longer than I'd been a bridegroom. Jesse was stone dead.
Haven't you been traveling in the wrong direction, Happy?
O'Toole, how did you get in here?
I came to persuade the young lady to annul our marriage to you.
Quit alibying. You killed her.
No. I might have, if she'd remained stubborn. Someone reached her first.
Smith?
Uh-huh.
Why did Smith kill her?
Isn't that the usual fate of double crosses? She recovered you from the river after he'd thrown you in. They were partners until the young lady foolishly decided to operate on her own.
What were they after with me?
I suppose the time has come to talk of things. You're a missing heir.
I'm a missing heir? Me? What did my old man leave me? His worn-out suspenders?
No. But an Uncle Jonas of 1275 Rutgers Drive, Chicago, left you $250,000 estate.
My Uncle Jonas? I hardly remember him.
You will, when they read the will tomorrow. You've been advertising everywhere, publishing your picture for months before his death.
Funny, I never saw an ad.
You don't read the papers. You just sleep under them on park benches.
What was Smith's angle?
Smith is Michael Dolan, a distant relative of yours, and an aspiring heir who wanted desperately to succeed you. That is, over your dead body. The girl's angle was obvious.
Yeah. Marry me, let Smith knock me off, and be my legal widow.
Yes. And, my angle explains itself.
You cut in for half. And those weighing machine cards were just a way of getting me to play sucker.
Yes. The hotel management ringing, Happy. They're curious about seedy overnight guests who check in without baggage. They'll be barging in shortly, drawing conclusions about a drifter who murdered his new bride.
You threatening me with a rap?
Ask yourself, how much credibility will you have with the authorities? Better get back to that railroad station as fast as you can. We'll meet in Chicago.
You still see me as an investment, huh?
A gilt-edged one now.
Now that I can be framed for murdering Jesse.
And charged with the actual murder of Michael Dolan, alias Smith.
How could you know about that?
I saw Smith get on that train with you. You can only be here alive over Smith's dead body. Get going while you can.
What about the corpse on the sofa?
Leave the disposal of your bride to me. I've had experience in similar matters.
I got going. As far as this booth here in the Rialto Record Shop. It's all here on the record, and thanks for a lovely time, everybody. You've a great little town here, all right.
Hey, you. You completed your recording?
Yeah. Won't you do me a little favor?
Yes?
Wrap it up and mail it to the chief of police with my compliments.
Wouldn't it be better, sir, if we delivered it personally?
We?
I should hate to be compelled to shoot a customer.
A gun? This is where I came in. You listened all the time I was making that record. Well, I'm in the cooler now. O'Toole's in the cell right next door to me. I've been here a day and a half.
Mr. Dolan,
big deal for you, huh? Catching a killer? Bet it's good for the record business.
But you're not exactly a killer. Maybe you can prove to the DA that shooting that man Smith was a justifiable homicide.
Justifiable, huh? Smith's not going to like that wherever he is.
Nor is he going to like another thing wherever he is.
What other thing is he not going to like?
His inability to claim your Uncle Jonas's fortune. You see, the will was read this morning, and you were left your uncle's library in a 1928 Nash automobile. The rest of the estate went
to... Don't tell me.
Yes. It went to your cousin, the late Mr. Smith. And now, with his death, his share reverts to charity.
Charity. The late Mr. Smith, wherever he is going to die all over again. Of enlargement of the heart.
Thank you. Looks like Smith was his own worst enemy. He kept buzzing the wrong cousin. They tell me that when Happy Dolan turned loose in that 1928 Nash automobile Uncle Jonas left him, there's one certain town he's going to cross right off his road map. The going's too rugged there. Too much happens in record time. Well, friends, it's time once again to close that creaking door. Until next week at this same time, when we'll be back with a little hunk of horror. You'll be sure to listen, won't you? Until next week, then. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
Inner Sanctum has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To listen to our other storytelling podcasts, like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, visit CrypticCountyPodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.